Welcome to the CMO Reset.
I'm Norman Guadagno, multi-time CMO, agency leader, and all-around marketing guy, endlessly questioning how to balance who I am with what I do.
And I'm Jeff Hadfield, longtime journalist, media person, tech industry guy, community and ecosystem builder, partnership forger, and part-time DJ.
Join us for the CMO Reset and get perspective on your work, your life, and the world we're in.
Let's dive in.
Perspective, our point of view.
It's always been one of my dreams to visit Scotland and do a whiskey tour and an Inspector Rebus tour. Whiskey is obviously one of Scotland's best-known products, and anyone that appreciates it will truly want to visit the source. Scottish detective fiction, the genre sometimes referred to as tartan noir, may be lesser known than Scotch, and certainly within that particular genre, Inspector Rebus' novels by Ian Rankin, perhaps even more cultish. But it's one of those things that if you know it, you know it. So endless whiskey and a grizzled Scottish detective who smokes, drinks too much, and sometimes gets too close to the bad guys is exactly the mood I want to set as I explore a little bit of the life of the CMO. The first time I was appointed to lead a marketing department, way back in 1999, was as VP of marketing. Back then, or at least as I recall, not everyone in the company had become a chief of this or that. We were simply VPs, except for the CEO and CFO. In addition to me, there were VPs of sales and engineering and customer support. My job was build a brand, build demand, tell our product story. We even did some category creation. The company went public just a few weeks after I joined, and it was a good run. Marketing seemed to exist as a clearly defined function that collaborated closely with product and sales to grow the company. And I admit that I didn't nearly know enough about anything at that time, and I likely made more mistakes than I realized. But I did learn that I loved being a marketing leader. I built a terrific team, became better at many things, still sucked at a few things, iterate, improve. I left that company after a few years and went on to do it again at another company, once again VP of marketing. A well-defined job with clearly defined outcomes. Rebranded the company, navigated a somewhat difficult set of economic conditions. Then, a couple of years into it, after what felt to me like a successful business trip, I walked into the office on a Monday in October, which also happened to be my birthday, and was unceremoniously fired. They'd already hired my replacement. The company was going in a different direction. Forces unseen and unknown, lurking like gangsters on the periphery, had made it clear I was no longer needed. Fly too close to the sun and your wings may melt, or so I imagined. The reality is, I likely wasn't doing everything I should have been doing to keep my job. Not necessarily the marketing part, but the relationships with my boss and his bosses. The harsh reality was that I was too focused on doing the marketing and failed to realize that my real job was something else. Like Inspector Rebus, who often doesn't give a damn about the regulations or his bosses in pursuit of the truth, I was too dogged in my pursuit of doing the best marketing. Or at least that's what I tell myself now. After that job, I did a bit of a reset. Went back to an individual contributor role as a marketer. Thought a lot about what I wanted from my job and what I didn't. Examined where I was doing good work, and where I came up short. Back then, I had a plan once to go to Edinburgh and see the Fringe Festival, then off on a whiskey tour. Lots of things happened in my life, and unfortunately, that plan never came to pass. But it sticks with me in the back of my mind as a thing I really want to do. Recently, watching the excellent Department Q on Netflix, the urge to visit Scotland has gotten stronger. So have the memories of that time back then. During the reset period, I also developed a plan to go back to leading a marketing team. That plan worked. Let's fast forward a few years. I've done marketing work for a big software company. I spent time at a digital agency as the marketing guy, and then 5 years of progressively increasing responsibility to full service marketing agency. Then I get an offer to lead a marketing team at a software company. This time I would be senior vice president of marketing. But the landscape had changed a bunch. And many companies had CMOs and CROs, and every chief title under the sun was busy being created. Making this move also meant relocating and some significant personal changes and challenges. I did it anyway. 4 years of being head of marketing at a growing public software company taught me more than I can mention in this short opening. I came into the situation with my eyes open and a much deeper understanding of the fact that my job was not just marketing. Marketing was just part of what was expected of me. And marketing was quickly changing around us. My major growth as a leader was in managing the wild and varied politics of a public software company going through massive change. I gave my trust to a few people, and some of those people burned me. Some of those people remain true to this day. The CMO job is changing daily. Then again, so is almost every other job I can think of. The multiple forces of technology, economics, politics, and just the overall zeitgeist are reshaping what everyone does and how they do it. And that's sort of the point here. I can whine about the fact that my job is changing, that the expectations others have of me are changing. Or I can step back and ask myself if I want to keep doing the job. Late in the Inspector Rebus series, Rankin has him on the outside looking in, working on cold cases, no longer an official officer, and already desperate to get back in. There is pushback. The times have changed. The expectations for officers have changed. But maybe Rebus is blind to anything other than his own desires. Maybe many of us are a bit blind to our desires or blinded by them. After those 4 years back in the marketing leader seat, I did it two more times. There was also a pandemic and a vast shift in the economic landscape and AI emerging to impact everyone's jobs. Sometimes I would say to myself, sometimes I still say to myself, my job sucks and I love it. That's my dilemma. My job sucks. And I love it. And I think back on all those stories I read about Inspector Rebus, and his job sucked, but he sure seemed to love it. Is that a state I should continue to embrace? Or do I need to figure out something else, some other way to get my satisfaction and leverage decades of investment in being a pretty decent marketer? Maybe that's why I'm here rambling about Rebus in Scotland and the current state of the CMO role. My job sometimes sucks, and I still love it.
Discussion.
So much to unpack there. Again, I think that's a great set of analogies. There was some exotic, what's the right word, exotic destinations
Exotic.
there.
There was no exotic dancing going on.
No,
And
not
I will
no, that's a
own up to the
completely
fact
different
that
thing.
also there was no whiskey involved at this moment, because it is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, although that would be much better for us to do with over whiskey, but I'll put that on a flag for tonight.
Right.
Continue, Jeff.
We'll add that for a future episode. I wanted to talk about a few things that came up for me while you were talking about that. And one of those is there's some title inflation. There's some other pieces about that. And I did want to bring up one of the things that you highlighted. And I think it's interesting for all of us, regardless of our role. And that is how much of our work role should be wrapped around getting the job done, and how much of it needs to be around the, what do you want to call it, the social dynamics within the company. And I don't want to say managing upwards or horizontally or downwards.
It's those larger people dynamics. And you're right. So let's pull that apart, because this is actually very germane. As I read a lot of detective fiction. I read a lot of fiction in general, right? And it's in detective fiction, it's in many instances, it's not about solving the case, although it's always about solving the case. It's about all the interpersonal relationships. And I admit to a general naivete on my own part of not realizing that early enough on in my career, that it wasn't just about being the best marketer I could be. And I think that in today's world, particularly as we've moved to remote work and all sorts of new organizational structures, those unspoken parts of your job have become so much more important. So much more important.
And yet they're not really defined. I think about experience I've had, and it's the other thing that's interesting about it, and I want to bring this up, is it's not just that it's undefined. And it's not just that, let's say, one of us isn't as good at it as we could be. And I'm speaking broadly. I'm not trying to be obtuse about my criticisms of Norman or anybody else.
You are never obtuse about your criticisms of me. I appreciate that.
The classic, you suck, and here's why. But what I was going to say is, even for those of us who are saying, hey, I see this need, I'm trying to manage this, I want to be communicating clearly with others, I want to be managing expectations, I want to be defining things, I want to make sure my OKRs are shiny and accomplished. One of the other challenges that's on top of all of this is that also, are the people that we're working with actually engaged in us doing this? Can we make systematic and systemic change happen? Mm-hmm. Or are we really just, to some degree, let's focus on the stuff that we know we can do, because we all know that no matter what role we're in today's environment, it's volatile, and we really don't have any control about whether we stay or we go to a large degree, even if we're good at these things.
We don't have a lot of control. And I don't want to lose the point you made earlier and that I had referenced about title inflation, but we'll get back to that in a minute. I do want to address directly head on. A little bit of what we see is every person for himself or herself in today's world. And I feel, and this is my own personal observation, it became significantly worse after the pandemic. I felt that people, for any number of different reasons, and I'm going to ascribe it to maybe a combination of fear and self-protection, people became more self-involved at some level. And I'm not just excluding myself from this. I think jobs, as so many people were laid off, or they lost their jobs, or they changed the dynamic of their jobs, became something different. And we hear all about how new generations entering the workforce have a very different relationship with their job than perhaps older generations had entering the workforce. And we can talk about whether that, you know, is real or not real. But I feel that we all have taken a different relationship with our job, and we're all just a little bit sort of grizzled. We've seen one too many dead bodies in a apartment somewhere that, like, after a while, it doesn't bother you as much. And I feel that it's hurting everyone at every level. And senior leaders have to deal with organizations populated with people who may or may not want to be there anymore, or who are fearful that at any given moment they're going to be let go. And I referenced in my first intro to the previous episode, the 1.6 million people who've worked at Microsoft over the past 50 years. I didn't reference the fact that just last week or the week before, 9,000 of them were laid off. The relationship between a person and their job and how they define their job continues to evolve and change. And as executives, we have to be highly sensitive to this.
I really love that. And I want to touch on a couple things that build on it. First one is something that came up in my head as you were talking about that is it reminded me of Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which, by the way, now we know was influenced and completely hijacked from the Blackfoot people's indigenous structure around there.
I didn't
cooperation
know that,
and equality.
Thank you for educating me on that.
Right, right. Which, okay, I'll send you this later, but if you listeners haven't seen this,
Jeff will post the link.
Yeah, I'll find the link, but it's one of those classic things where white guy took some great ideas and didn't quite get all the context, and there's a lot of interesting depth there. But in even the original model, it's that security, that's community, and that cooperation that provides some of the foundations in order for us to successfully live. Not just be productive from a business metric sense, but successfully live. And your point of post-pandemic, we don't feel secure, we feel like we can do these things, is actually, I think, causing universal harm. And the other piece that I wanted to build on around that was you also mentioned something that's maybe worth exploring for just a couple minutes here, and that is, I think a lot of us were actually getting quite a bit of fulfillment from our work roles. And we can talk about whether that was wise or not. But generationally, I believe that's shifting. And then, as you said, post-COVID, that's also shifting because we're realizing we literally can't depend on these things when they're in a corporate situation where it's out of our control.
Right, right, right. And maybe that's the core of this whole notion of my job sucks and I still love it. Many of us love the jobs that we have, even if they do suck, and they get suckier over time. And we develop that relationship with it and that need for it and that need for affiliation and reward. It's something we need to explore more. I want to make one final point, and I'm going to just scoot over back to the left for a second on this notion of title inflation. I actually want to do some research into that to understand if this is either my own perception or this is true. But I don't remember 20 plus years ago that every person was chief. And not to pick on that role, because I've carried the chief marketing officer title myself and proud of it. But it feels like as we've expanded the perceived scope of roles, maybe we've made those roles even harder to be successful in. Right? Being a VP of marketing, and I'm seeing a counter trend now, by the way, just a teeny bit of companies looking just for VPs of marketing or sales, not chief marketing or chief revenue officers. I wonder if those better defined marketing and sales roles, those better defined levels, give people more opportunity for success. Like the CEO role is a hard one, and it's why there's only one. You have such broad mandate. The CFO role is well defined and has been for decades and decades, and it is truly that person who where the literally the buck stops with them. But for the chief marketing officer, the chief customer officer, sometimes it feels like we're asking too much of the role, and we're asking too much of the person.
I don't have an easy answer for title inflation, but I do think it's interesting to watch. And I think, I think it ends up creating maybe unrealistic expectations as to what can be accomplished to sort of bring that full circle. And so, you know, I think we left some threads or whatever you want to call them, some pieces hanging on the floor or on the shelf or somewhere in the decor that we'll pick up in future episodes. But I think for now, this is a great place to leave this episode. Thank you all for joining us. Do all the things that you do for podcasts to help support us, and please check back soon for some new episodes.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CMO Reset. You can find us on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, and at cmoreset.com.